Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your pet today on the show. Our pets can help us cope with stress and anxiety, and today we'll talk about how you can help them cope with theirs. With us, Dr. Carrie Donahue. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Dr. Carrie provides an option for holistic and alternative care. Her clinic offers acupuncture and botanical medicine, vaccines, and other wellness care, including nutritional recommendations. So, have you tried the holistic treatment for stress? What questions do you have about dealing with a stressed cat or dog? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Dr. Carrie Donahue, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
So how's your business keeping staff and patients safe during the pandemic?
We're quite busy, as a lot of veterinary clinics around the whole country have been quite busy over the last, 5-6 months, ever since this all started. However, we are still doing curbside service, so we're just having pets come inside the clinic currently and having pet owners wait until their pet is seen. And that's kind of, at least from what I understand, with a lot of clinics currently, pretty standard practice at the moment. And, things are constantly changing, so I don't know when that might change, but we have been quite busy. And part of that, too, is because a lot of people are adopting dogs and cats, which is a wonderful thing, and it's great.
Yeah.
And one of the good things that has come out of this difficult time, we're seeing new patients every single day. So that's a wonderful thing. But it has been busy, yeah.
And it's really a stressful year for sure. What, are you seeing any kind of behaviors in pets because of the stress?
Well, I always think that pets are so in tune with their owners and their people that when pet owners get stressed out, as, most of us have been, pets can pick up on that. So they can become stressed. They can have anxiety issues just because they think they're kind of tuning into that energy of their owner. But then certainly other factors can play into it as well. Life has changed for all of us. Dogs aren't going to daycare or being boarded or, going to grooming maybe as often as they might have been before. So that has changed. They might not be socializing as much. Of course, going into a vet clinic by themselves without their pet owner, that can be stressful. So a lot of factors play into it. And the other thing that, I think about, because lifestyles of people are just changing so constantly now, when a pet might have been adopted, the person might have been at home with them 24/7. And some people are starting to spend more time now away from home, which might be a big change for animals. So that can be stressful as well.
So what can we do to help our pets feel better?
Yeah, and it's a good question. And then the nice thing is there are quite a lot of things that pet owners can do at home just to make their homes a more comfortable, safe feeling environment for pets. I always think just setting up a really nice, safe space for your dog and cat to go, whether that is in a crate, if they feel more comfortable in a crate, or just a certain area, maybe a certain room in the house or a place that they like to be, setting that up with a nice bed and toys, maybe giving them something like a Kong to chew on and work away at while the pet owner is gone, that can be helpful. But other things, too, that you can do in the environment. I think one very nice thing is just to play music and just having some background noise going on so pets might not get nervous if they hear something outside. Whenever I leave the house, I always turn on Wisconsin Public Radio classical music for my pets. And I don't know, it calms me down. I think it might calm them down, but classical music is great. There are even some, you can find playlists on places like Spotify where they have calming music for dogs and cats. And this is actually music that has been tuned to a certain frequency that they found really promotes calming. So that's another thing, having music going, even turning on the TV when you're gone, something to distract them. And another thing that I really like to do is have an essential oil diffuser going with something like lavender oil, which is very easy to get and to find. It's very safe. I think the biggest thing with essential oils is just making sure that you're not putting them directly on your animal, but in a diffuser, that's completely fine and very calming as well.
Is there a time when we need to get a professional involved?
Yeah, and that would be, you know, usually what I say is trying some of these things at home, and if your pet is really still showing signs of separation anxiety, and what that can look like is just destructive behavior, so chewing on things when you're gone, scratching at the door, just finding things that they might have gotten into, or even going to the bathroom in the house, excessive vocalization like barking or meowing quite a bit when you're gone. So if some of those behaviors are, you know, and sometimes it's hard to know, but oftentimes when you come home, you can tell if your pet might have, you know, destroyed some things or gone to the bathroom in the house, then it might be worth working with a pet behaviorist. And the other thing to kind of think about doing, too, is just a visit to the veterinarian, just your regular vet, just to make sure that there is no other medical issue going on. Thinking about just having an exam done, having blood work taken, just to make sure that everything is okay physically and medically, and then going down the route of maybe potentially seeing a behaviorist.
Yeah, it's all good tips. And you know what? I'm looking at my list of emails coming in. There's lots of those, and there's every phone line is filled.
Oh, wow. Great. Good.
So let's take some phone calls here. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest, and let's go to Becky in Ashland first. Hi, Becky. Thank you for calling. We lose Becky? Not hearing Becky.
No, I don't either.
Okay, well let's try Claire in Madison then.
Hi there.
Hi Claire, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have 2 10-year-old cats. The female Daisy has always been a little bit nippy. Lately, she started a couple months ago biting hard enough to break skin. And not good because, you know, that can cause infections and things. So, and the vet recommended that I put her on Prozac. So I have, and she seems to be tolerating it okay. She seems different, though. I mean, this has been about 2 months, I guess, since we put her on Prozac, and it's just kind of different. And I just was wondering if there might be another remedy or something else that we could try.
That's a great question. And even just kind of some of the things that I mentioned before, the essential oil diffuser might be something to have going at home. Another thing, have you ever tried pheromones, feline pheromones?
No, I haven't.
Okay. The main brand of feline pheromones, the brand is called Feel-Away, and these are the pheromones that you can buy are a synthetic version of this hormone that mother cats give off when they're with their kittens, when they're nursing their kittens. So it just kind of makes them feel safe and secure and more settled. But you can get the pheromones either in a plug-in diffuser. You can get them as a spray that you kind of spray around areas where your cat likes to go. Or you can also get it as a collar, which you put on and it lasts for 30 days, and then they're breathing in those pheromones. So that might be something to try. Kind of as far as natural supplements, there are, again, just a variety of different things. And I can't say that one thing works for every cat. So, you know, kind of the difficult thing is that it's a little bit of trial and error. But usually the main thing that I have started with for the last couple of years is CBD oil. So that might be something to think about trying, even along with the Prozac to start, and just see if that helps your cat. And potentially you might be able to get them off that medication, especially because you are seeing that she's acting a little bit different and not her complete self. So it would be nice to maybe think about a natural supplement and see if that might, you know, kind of calm her down so she's not doing those behaviors in a more natural way. And the CBD oil, it's also nice because you can get it in a treat form. You can use the oil itself and mix it in with the food. Or for cats, what I actually like the best is a transdermal cream. And you apply this cream on the inside of the ear flaps where there isn't any fur, and then it gets absorbed into the body that way. So that might be some things to try.
Is there a particular CBD oil that you would use, or...
You know, and that, yeah, there are so many CBD oils out there. And for a cat, for a small creature, I usually advise against using a human CBD oil, although oftentimes you can for larger dogs. But for cats, I think it's nice to use a pet-specific. The brand that I use and I carry in my clinic is called One Farm. OneFarm.com, you can go onto their website and even take a look at the pet products they have, and they have that transdermal cream available. So it's nice to work with somebody who has experience in certain CBD oils that they know and trust, because you know that you're giving your pet the, you know, best quality oil that you can.
Claire, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Richard in Two Rivers. Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's about dogs. I'm working with a couple of Doberman Pinschers that the one has high anxiety because it was locked up the first 6 months before it was rescued. And what I find what works really well is, first of all, don't have a pet if you can't spend time with it. I mean, if your life is that busy that you can't, you have to leave it at home for 12 hours at a time, that's not fair to the pet. And the second thing is, now that I'm retired, I can run the dogs wherever, dog park, and I try to take them on a different path, because I do have a lot of paths available to me where there's hardly any people.
Oh, we lost Richard, but I think we had sort of the essence of what he was talking about there, Dr. Carey. Comment?
Yes, absolutely. I think that is a big part of it. Just physical activity would be another thing that you can do before leaving for a period of time, just to get your pet tired out. And kind of like what the caller was saying is maybe going on new tracks, letting them really sniff things and kind of get mentally stimulated. That tires dogs out just as well. So a long walk or a run before you're leaving, so they're more likely to just kind of relax and sleep when you're gone. The other idea, if you are gone for, you know, a full day, 8 hours or even a bit longer, it's a nice idea to think about having a professional dog walker or a caretaker just come into your house, check on your dog, maybe take him for a walk during the midday. And just have that physical activity and interaction, because I do think that is a big part of just kind of working out some of that nervous energy.
Yeah, good points. Richard, thanks again for calling. Dr. Carey Donahue, our guest today, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Great to have her with us. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at your pet's health and holistic ways to deal with a lot of things, including anxiety and stress. Our guest, Dr. Carey Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. So great to have her. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call from Trish in Green Bay next. Hi, Trish.
Hello. I'm calling in regard to my 8-year-old Shih Tzu. He has been suffering with urinary tract infection, and he had been on antibiotics for about 8 weeks from three different vets. And the third vet, I finally said, I'm not going to give him to him because he's been on antibiotics for so long for this condition. And he had gotten groomed, and he started making, it wasn't kennel cough, but then when I called the vet, she said, well, she thought it was kennel cough, so then she prescribed another antibiotic and a pain medication that is, like, super, super strong, because I Googled it. And I did. I gave him, like, a quarter of that once, and then his eyes got, because he has one blue eye, it got, like, all the blue went away, and it was just black. The pupil was that big. The question, I guess, basically is it good for an animal to be on antibiotics that long?
Yeah, that is something that we struggle with when we're faced with an obvious bacterial infection, and antibiotics, of course, are the fastest way to treat something like that. But, you know, kind of like in the holistic world, we always look at not just treating the disease, but also trying to understand why this is happening and what is the underlying cause potentially. And that's, you know, something that you could maybe think about a little bit more to potentially get him off of this long course of antibiotics, which sometimes is necessary. You know, is there a reason why the dog is continuing to have these chronic urinary tract infections? And a lot of times I will look at the food. A lot of times the pH level of the urine can play into it. If the pH level is too alkaline, then you can have bacteria proliferate and you can have crystals proliferate. If you can get the urine in the bladder more acidic, then you can kind of naturally take care of the bacteria and any crystals that form, and you can do a lot just by lowering the pH, just getting it more acidic. So a couple of things that I would say to maybe think about, talk to your vet about, there is a urinary acidifier called L-methionine, and it's a natural amino acid, and that's the main ingredient in a lot of the prescription foods that are given to animals for urinary tract issues. And that can help to acidify the urine. Of course, things like cranberry and vitamin C also help to acidify the urine and help to keep the bladder as healthy as possible. So it might be worth even thinking about adding in some urinary tract supplements, like a cranberry acidifying supplement, along with the antibiotics until you finish the antibiotic treatment. But that might be something to continue to prevent future ones from happening. The other thing that I would say, the most important thing, if your pet is on antibiotics, to make sure that you're giving probiotics as well. Just because the antibiotics are going to wipe out everything, even the good bacteria, and the probiotics will help to reestablish the good bacteria in the GI tract.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Thank you so much, Trish, for that call. Appreciate it. And probiotics, would you? What would be some examples that you might use in this situation?
Mm-hmm. You know, there are a couple of brands that I do like and I use very often. Probably the most common one is made by the company Animal Essentials, and it is called Plant Enzymes and Probiotics. So it also has digestive enzymes, which, again, is really good for the GI tract, and the probiotics. I do even recommend giving probiotics along with the antibiotics. It seems counterintuitive, but if you can kind of separate them out, I think there is benefit there. And I often even recommend doubling up on the probiotics while you're doing the antibiotics, and then continue for a couple of months after, just to kind of, again, reestablish the good bacteria.
Nick emailed that he would like to hear about holistic approaches to heartworm. They recently adopted a mature dog and need to make decisions about products to use. They're concerned about reports and cautions regarding potential adverse health consequences for some dogs. And also, what are your views on flea and tick prevention?
I get a lot of questions about that, just kind of being the holistic practitioner, and a lot of people ask about, are there natural alternatives? And, you know, the thing with the heartworm medication, So it is just a dewormer. I feel that it is safe for most animals, and I do feel that it is necessary for dogs to be on the heartworm preventative. What I recommend is giving the heartworm preventative seasonally, so during mosquito season, because it is transmitted by mosquitoes, so starting around May and then going through about November, giving the heartworm preventative once a month. One of the things that I recommend whenever you give heartworm preventative is to give an herbal detoxifier when you do it, just to help support the liver and the kidneys as they take in this dewormer, process it, use it, and flush it out. And what that looks like is just an herbal detox, and milk thistle is the top herbal that I use to help detoxify the liver. So I recommend giving milk thistle the day that you give the heartworm preventative and for about 5 days after. So I think that helps to mitigate any potential negative effects of giving the heartworm preventative and still completely protects our dogs, because there really is not a good and reliable natural way to protect your pet completely from heartworm disease. Certainly having a healthy dog, feeding them a good food and good supplements will help support their immune system so they can hopefully fight off any heartworm that they might be exposed to. But I still think it's a good idea, and I do recommend giving heartworm preventative. The thing with flea and tick preventatives, there are some natural products that pet owners can use. The one that I have used that I found the most success with, it's a cedar oil-based spray, and it's from the company Wonderside. And the thing with the natural flea and tick products that are usually essential oil-based, you have to spray them on every day. So it's not a once-a-month sort of thing. You do have to be very vigilant and spray it on at least every day if they're going outside and they might be exposed to fleas and ticks. And then still doing a tick check at the end of every day, I think, is very important, no matter what you use, because nothing is 100%. So, yes, there are alternatives for flea and tick, and really it kind of depends on lifestyle, too. If you're going camping, hiking, and your dog might be have a higher chance of being exposed to ticks, I do think it is important to probably use the conventional treatments. Like, I recommend the topicals, like Frontline, Advantix, Vectra, or even the Seresto collar is very effective. You know, during the month that you need to, and then maybe using the natural when it's you're not in such a prevalent area.
All right, good tips there. We have Dave in La Crosse online with a question. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I got a 7-year-old pug that every this time of year she gets severe allergies and cannot stop licking and scratching. And we've given her, we just had her to the vet last week. He gave her a shot of Cytopoint.
Okay.
And then that didn't seem to take any effect. Usually the last couple times we've given that, it's taken effect within hours. We took her back yesterday, and my wife said they gave her a steroid. I forgot what it is. And then some spray to put on her paws when if she goes outside. And then giving her a bath 3 or 4 times a week.
Okay. Well, you're doing everything right. You know, allergies are so difficult this time of year, and especially now. You know, we're dealing with ragweed, and so many dogs and cats, even indoor cats, are affected by the pollen that's kind of floating around in the air and just irritating the skin. So, like I said, I think you're doing everything that you can do. The Cytopoint injection for a lot of dogs is effective, but sometimes if it's very severe, the Cytopoint is not quite enough. And this, what the Cytopoint injection does is it just stops the release of histamines at the skin level. So kind of like a very powerful antihistamine, so they just don't feel itchy. And then medications like Apoquel or a steroid like prednisone, sometimes those are necessary just for helping to tone down the immune system response to what is out there. I think bathing a couple times a week is very important. But the other thing that I would say if you're not doing this is just kind of having some baby wipes, or you can natural baby wipes. You can also get specific wipes for dogs. but just wiping your dog down every time it comes in from being outside, you know, to get anything off their fur that might have gotten on them and is kind of sitting on the fur that's going to work its way down to the skin level, getting in between the toes and really wiping every area to get anything off. That, you know, might be the best thing that you can do at this point when your dog is really suffering. There are some other kind of like supplements that you could think about adding in, and maybe you're already doing this, but something like a fish oil or omega-3 fatty acid is really helpful for the skin and for inflammation. So if you're not doing that, I might add that in also. And probiotics can also help. You know, kind of in the bigger picture, that might be something to add in.
There you go, Dave. Thank you very much for calling. Russ in Pleasant Springs, on to you now. Hi, Russ.
Hi. I had a little difference of opinion with your guest approach to the current situation with the veterinarian's visit. I had to have my dog updated with some things about a month ago, and it was the situation she mentioned where you make an appointment, you drop the dog off, they come and get it in the parking lot. Well, my dog, in this example, suffers from separation anxiety. Well, that's never been a problem on a vet visit because I go in there. So they bring him in, and it's not even 5 minutes later. He's totally uncooperative. He's yelling and very upset. And they said, you know, we're going to bring your dog out, except they couldn't bring him out because he wouldn't cooperate. I went in there, and I'm thinking, why can't I or anybody else walk into a veterinarian's office wearing a mask like I would at a grocery store or a drugstore and bring my dog in? You know, what, the dogs do not pass on this virus. So maybe a little opinion on that, please.
All right. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you for just kind of that other perspective. You know, because certainly there are animals that just don't do well when they're not with their caretaker or their pet parent. And I would say probably the best thing that pet owners can do is just have a conversation with their veterinarian before the visit and see if there are any other options. And I have certainly made allowances for certain situations when I know the pet is not going to do okay away from their owner, allowing the pet owner to come in. Or even we've got kind of like a space outside where we can all kind of go out in a safe little area outside the clinic to see the animal. And I guess, you know, just speaking for myself, the reason why I am still doing curbside service is just to, you know, kind of protect everyone. And my thought is if I get sick or if any of my staff test positive for COVID, we're not going to be able to help any animals. So that is the reason why I am still doing the curbside service. And I will say across the board, most animals do really well with just coming in, and there aren't any other distractions. There aren't any other dogs or people or doors opening and closing when they are inside the clinic. So it is a bit of a more quiet and peaceful place in general. But that is something to discuss with your veterinarian. And I do know that there are clinics that are allowing people inside. So if it comes to that, maybe calling around and finding a place that is allowing pet owners. It's just, you know, I kind of make assessments every week, every day on how I'm going to go forward. And, you know, it's tough to say, but that's kind of the reasoning behind my decision.
There you go, Russ. Thank you so much. Barb in Chippewa Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Barb.
Thanks for taking my call. I adopted an 8 to 10-year-old Springer Spaniel last October. First time in 45 years I had anything but a golden, note to self, and she's in the car. And I go in the car a lot to visit family. She howls, she whines, she pants, and I have tried a kennel. She hated that. I've tried the Thunder Shirt. Didn't help. I tried pheromone, spray, collar. She's okay with a Kong until the Kong's gone. I have tried meds. I tried Benadryl. It really doesn't even touch her until we get where we're going, and then she crashes. I tried alprazolam once, and I tried trazodone, but I hate to do that. So I'm wondering if you have any ideas.
Boy, it sounds like you've tried a lot.
and that
often is what it is. You just kind of try different things to see if something works for your pet. And because every animal is so different, you end up doing that. I don't know if you've tried CBD oil. That might be something to think about trying. Just, you know, the nice thing about it is it is pretty fast acting. So you can give it about an hour and a half to an hour before the car ride just to see if that might have a positive effect and help your dog just kind of relax a little bit more. The other thing that I would think about is kind of approaching it from a different direction. If there is any sort of, like, you know, car sickness or nausea that might just be making your dog feel a little bit anxious, you know, and you can do an herbal tincture that has ginger, something that has chamomile, fennel, peppermint, and all of those kind of settle the stomach and might also just help your dog feel a little bit less anxious. The one that I use often, again, is by this company, Animal Essentials, and it's called Daily Digestion. And so that has all of those ingredients in it, and that can be helpful, maybe in combination with something like CBD oil. Rescue Remedy is another kind of like a homeopathic preparation that you can give right before you go anywhere in the car, and you can continue to give it just a couple of drops right in the mouth while you're even traveling, to step in and giving it to your dog. So that might be another thing to try, just some other ideas.
There you go. Sounds like you've tried a lot, but Dr. Carey has a few more good ones, I think, for you. give it a shot. Oh, boy. Well, Lori in Platteville, your turn. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I have a little dog, and he is very frightened by thunder and seeing lightning to the point that, you know, he'll pant and he's clawing at me, and, you know, I've tried to talk to him, you know, soothingly, and he gets panting so hard that I think that he might even have a heart attack at some point.
Uh-huh.
What would you suggest?
Boy, have you tried any of just kind of the conventional medications for him at all?
No.
Okay. You know, and it does sound like, from what you're saying, that your dog's really getting stressed out. And if you are, you know, worried about the potential health effects, if their heart is just racing and they can't calm down, even if you tried some of the natural things that I mentioned before, like the CBD oil, Rescue Remedy, there is another herbal called valerian root that's very safe and can be very calming as well, that you can give in small doses. But if none of those things are helping, then I would say maybe your dog would be a candidate for some kind of a medication. As the previous caller mentioned, trazodone is something that's used. Alprazolam, which is Xanax for people, that's something that can be used. And those medications, it's not something your dog has to be on long-term, but they can be used for situations. So if you know a thunderstorm is coming, you can give it as soon as you know something might be on the way, just to help them relax and maybe even just sleep a little bit, or just be more chilled out when the thunder is going. But also things, you know, that you can do to make your house, you know, maybe a little bit, make your pet feel a little bit more comfortable at home, like having the diffuser going, even playing some white noise or music going. But you kind of do all of these things and do the best that you can. But that might be something to consider, the medication.
Yeah. Thank you, Lori, for calling. I was thinking about last night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, actually, there was a lot of thunder.
Oh, I missed that.
I woke me up and I was thinking, I bet there's some pet owners who are probably having some problems right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Even if the pet owner can sleep through something like thunder, a lot of times the dogs that get nervous about that won't let the pet owner sleep through it. So everybody's up. which can be tough with no sleep.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to Ruth in Altoona. Ruth, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling. You mentioned Wonderside. Mm-hmm. And my experience with Wonderside has been that the puppy we have, just he'll drool. He can't stand it. He'll try to rub it off, you know, just work real hard to rub it off. Now, I've used the peppermint with him. Mm-hmm. I did not use the cedar or the lemongrass. I'm just wondering what else you might suggest, because right now I'm hesitant to put anything on him. I would expect that trying to get it off would be a little bit normal, but the drooling seemed to me to be too much.
Right. Yeah, and that's a really good point. And because that Wonderside, it is a cedar oil based, and they do have the peppermint, they have rosemary, they have the lemongrass. You know, just kind of thinking about, dogs are really sensitive to smell, and so much more than we are. And so if you put this essential oil on them, a lot of dogs do fine, a lot of cats do fine, but certain animals are just very sensitive to the essential oils in general, even though it is diluted. So, you know, I would think about maybe just trying a different formulation. Another one that I have used besides the Wonderside is a product by Dr. Mercola, and it's just a flea and tick repellent, but it's a different blend of essential oils. It has cinnamon. I think it also has lemongrass in it, but just a different blend, and that might be something to think about trying if you really want to do the natural flea and tick preventative for your pet. Other things that you could think about to work from the inside out, feeding garlic to your dog, giving them, you know, a bulb of garlic a couple times a week can really help from the inside out at just repelling those parasites. So that might even be another part of it that can kind of help you decrease how much you have to put actually topically on your pet.
And Ruth, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Dr. Carrie Donahue, our guest today, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your pet's health here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Dr. Carrie Donahue, owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Great to have her back. And certainly if you have questions about holistic ways to deal with anything, anxiety and stress and so forth, I hope you'll join in. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or phone 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's take another call. Shauna in Madison up next. Shauna, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have an 18-year-old tabby cat that's in palliative care. He's on budesonide for intestinal disease and has a large tumor on a stalk coming from his liver. But most of the time, he's still himself. He's active, has a good appetite, but sometimes I can tell he's in pain, you know, because his pupils are huge and he takes a while to lay down. So I'm just looking for any recommendations for a pain reliever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm really glad to hear that. In general, he seems to be doing okay. That is wonderful. And, you know, wonderful for you kind of taking care of him at this time. You know, as far as pain relievers for cats, there are a couple of different options. I mean, as far as the medications go, gabapentin is something that works well for a lot of cats, and it's very safe. It's not going to have any negative effects on the liver or kidneys, so that might be something to consider. Buprenorphine is another powerful pain medication that's used very commonly in cats. But kind of like from the holistic perspective, going back to wonderful CBD oil, which is something that, you know, I recommend for a lot of different things. But the nice thing is it does work for a lot of different things. It is helpful for pain and as well as anxiety and boosting the immune system and helping with inflammation. So I would even say thinking about trying something like CBD oil, either in a treat form that your cat just has to gobble up with the food, or the transdermal form that you put, the cream that you put on the inside of the ears. Maybe try that and see how that does for him. The other thing, you know, and I don't know if this would be a consideration, but something that's very nice for cats that you don't have to get them to take would be acupuncture. You know, depending on if you were able to take your cat into some place or have a veterinarian acupuncturist visit you at the house, but that can be very helpful for pain. And it works very well, and it's not any sort of supplement or medication that you have to get them to take. It just works on a different level. Doing that maybe once every couple of weeks might be something to consider. I mean, acupuncture is really, really great for animals who are in that situation of palliative care, and you can help to boost the appetite if you ever need to. It has anti-cancer benefits, so great benefits with acupuncture as well.
Shauna, thank you so much for calling. Nikki in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, my daughter recently adopted a 7-year-old Shiba Inu who came from a puppy mill. And the primary issue with her dog is that she's very attached to my daughter and not so much to her fiance. If they are all together in a room, things are fine. But if John leaves the room and goes to his office, they both work at home, and then comes back out, she will sometimes growl at him. And she also suffers from separation anxiety when they both leave. She just sits and stares at the door and waits for them return, but hasn't done any damage.
Okay.
And they're trying all sorts of things that are slowly working. John feeds her by hand, and she will take treats from him and pets from him often, but this occasional growling is worrisome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I do think just kind of giving it more time, and everything that they're doing is helpful, I'm sure. Him doing that feeding and giving treats and taking her for walks. But the growling is a concern, and it kind of speaks to this whole sort of anxiety that she might be experiencing at this time. So maybe even thinking about some of the things that I had mentioned before, just kind of in the environment, have those going. I would think about one of those pheromone collars because you put that on and it lasts for 30 days, so they're breathing in those pheromones. And those, if they haven't done that, that is, and that just kind of makes them feel like everything in the environment belongs to them, is that they're settled, they feel like everything is okay. But that might be what I would say. Beyond going to, if the growling is getting worse, then I would probably think about doing maybe one of those anti-anxiety medications, because that is something you don't want to get any worse. You want to see progress, that things are getting better, and if it's going in the other direction, that might be what I would recommend, just an anti-anxiety medication that you get on board for them every day to see if that kind of helps her with those issues.
Mm-hmm. Nikki, thank you again for calling. Appreciate it. Another Nikki in Madison. Hi.
Hi, Nick.
Oh, Nick, sorry.
No sweat. Thanks for having me. I'm very concerned about my cat. She's 11 years old, 11 pounds, Maine Coon female, and she's developed a mouth infection in the last 2 weeks. I have her on antibiotics, and it's like, seems like it's just getting worse. I got 3 days of antibiotics out of 14 days here. So she's been on it for a while. Eating her food, constipated. Other problems with her right away, lethargic as heck. And she's got a wet belly from laying on her stomach. I'm trying to get her to lay on her back. But any advice? And I can't afford to keep testing her on things. It's tough.
Yeah, that is tough. Did they, when you had her in at the veterinarian, did they give you a diagnosis? Was there a loose tooth, or was it just kind of overall infection in the mouth?
Oh, right. So she's got I noticed a pocket on the side of her throat. They determined that was a saliva buildup, not cancer, which is great.
Yeah.
But still there a week and a half later, I guess. And then they said she just needed a mouth cleaning, give her a Metamucil for her constipation, but I give her coconut oil a little bit, and that seems to help.
Okay. Yeah, and I do think that is helpful, that coconut oil for constipation or even olive oil or almond oil, one of those just to kind of help keep things lubricated. So that's a good idea. It does sound like, you know, you might be in a place where a, kind of like a full dental cleaning under anesthesia might be the best option. And, you know, it is a bit of an investment, but that might be, especially if the antibiotics are not going down well or completely fixing the issue, just so they can get in there under anesthesia and do a deep cleaning, really assess everything that's going on in the mouth, the teeth, the gums. If there is any source of pain or infection, they can get that cleaned out and taken care of. But that might be what I would recommend thinking about doing at this point.
Yeah. Good luck, Nick. Thank you very much for calling. And Karen in Marshfield will give you a chance. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you? Thank you very much for taking my phone call.
Sure thing.
So I had 2 points that I wanted to ask about, 2 questions. The first one is, I had heard that garlic is poisonous to dogs. Could you speak to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the second...
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you want to answer? Okay. And then the second one is, I have often used a technique called counter conditioning along with holistic remedies for a lot of anxiety and stress issues, and I didn't know what your thoughts were on that.
Oh, okay. So, thinking about the garlic, and you probably heard me earlier recommend garlic for just kind of like as a natural flea and tick preventative mosquito repellent from the inside out. And garlic is safe for dogs. The issue is that onions are not safe for dogs or cats. Onions can be very toxic. And I think the reason why garlic is oftentimes lumped in with onions because it's in the similar family. So a lot of veterinarians just say, stay away from garlic, stay away from onions, don't give any of them. But the truth is there really aren't any reports of garlic being toxic to dogs. So that's why I think it's good to help the immune system, and garlic can be given safely. I mean, you don't want to give a large amount. Like I mentioned before, maybe one bulb or a half a bulb of garlic once or twice a week for an average-sized dog would be about the limit of how much you would want to give. But it is safe to give them. So in your other point about counter conditioning, yeah, I mean, this would be something to consider. I am, you know, not a behaviorist, so that's not my strong point. I kind of work with more of the holistic remedies and that sort of thing. So, but certainly working with a behaviorist, if you are faced with any anxiety issues, that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, there you go, Karen. Thank you so much for calling. Ann called to say that she's concerned about recommending diffusers because she has read they can be toxic to pets.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing with diffusers, and I think the most important thing with diffusers, is making sure that your pet has the option to, if they want to be close to the diffuser, if you do have it going in one room, or giving them the ability to get away from the diffuser and paying attention to that. You know, if you get a diffuser going, and I usually do only recommend diffusing lavender oil, which is gentle and that is very safe for animals. But still, if your pet really seems to not like it or they're going in the next room and they want to get away from it, then that might not be the best option. And like I mentioned before, making sure that you're not putting the oil directly on your pet where they can potentially lick it off, that's the main thing. But diffusing lavender oil, I've not seen or heard of any sort of toxicities related to that.
Okay. A listener emailed to say her cat is very anxious when she senses that people are preparing to leave.
Mm.
What? anything?
Yeah, I know, and they pick up on it. I mean, animals just kind of, they thrive on routine, and they're always paying attention. So if you kind of have the same routine before you're heading out to a place or getting ready to go, then they can definitely sense that something is about to happen. And even if you're not, I feel like cats just have this sixth sense where they just know what you're thinking. And if you're thinking about leaving, they can pick up on that. However they do it, I don't know. But, yeah, so kind of thinking about maybe change, if you do have a routine before you head out, changing that up just so your cat's not expecting it and they're not feeling anxious before you do those things when you leave.
Dr. Carrie Donahue will be with us right up until 12:30 today. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. We'll take a look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with Dr. Carrie. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at your pet's health today, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along on the Ideas Network, and happy to have Dr. Carrie Donahue with us. She's the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. Provides an option for holistic and alternative care. I know her clinic offers acupuncture and botanical medicine, vaccines, and other wellness care, including nutritional recommendations, too. So, what pet questions do you have? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Kelly in Brookfield has been waiting with a question. So let's go to Kelly. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. My situation is we have two bulldogs. We had a now he's eight, but when we had gotten a second bulldog, both males, thinking that it would be a companion for him, and that we were worried about the second one being more aggressive towards him, and it turns out to be opposite. It was probably a bad match. I mean, the older one is constantly humping him, so it's like, and the other one can just be sitting, and he'll constantly go up and hump him and lick him and just try to be dominant over him. We're seeing a dog behavioralist right now, and part of it is, I think, me, because I sort of babied the older one where he was sitting on my lap, and I would, you know, he was the main guy for a long time. So we're trying to follow some of her instructions for getting him more into a routine and exercising him more. But they don't think that the domination over the other one is going to be solved by just doing the methods that she suggested. And they're talking about putting him on meds, which I'm not real wild about. So I just wanted to see if you might have any suggestions for us for that. Terrible when company comes. He wants to be the only one in the room. He doesn't want the other dog in the room at all. So he's basically can't be company because he's a pest.
Oh, my God.
You can give me some ideas.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that tough? You know, when you go in with the best intentions and you think, oh, this is going to be a great companion for my other dog, and sometimes it's not always the best situation, but it sounds like you're doing everything that you can, and hopefully things will get better just working with the behaviorist. You know, and I would say maybe thinking about doing some of those calming supplements. The CBD oil, again, I think it's my top recommendation for animals that are kind of showing some of these behaviors where you just kind of want to take it down a notch, you know, and help them to relax a little bit more and not feel like they need to kind of defend their territory or kind of position themselves and show their dominance. The other thing that I would be the pheromone collar or the pheromone spray or the diffuser. So doing that, the CBD oil, and then maybe thinking about another kind of calming supplement. And I mentioned valerian root before. You can find calming supplements that have valerian root, that have tryptophan, which is kind of like that calming substance that's in turkey that makes you more relaxed. L-theanine, which is a green tea extract, catnip. I mean, catnip is a medicinal herb, and it's, you know, cats, of course, love it, but it can be very calming for dogs. So, and you can find a variety of different supplements. One that I use often, it's by the company RX Vitamins, and it's called NutriCalm. And that has a number of those different herbs and supplements in it that can help calm, on top of the CBD, maybe the pheromones, but that might be what I would try. And if you have to use medication, if it comes to that, if nothing else is helping, that's not the worst thing. You know, just to help the dog, both dogs, potentially feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Good luck, Kelly. Thank you for calling. Diane in Mercer, what's on your mind?
Hi. I adopted a dog from the Ashland shelter. He came from Alabama, and he had been in a shelter since December. And he's very hyperactive, and he's getting much better. We took him to obedience class. But sometimes when he gets a new experience, like the first time he went swimming, he gets his white of his eyes show up. And if it's away from the water, he can he'll start to run and bounce off the walls and stuff. And I've seen him run right into things really hard.
Boy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, good for you. Adopting a dog that came up from Alabama, that is wonderful. I just want to say that. But, yeah, kind of dealing with some of these behaviors, and it's wonderful that you did the obedience class. That always helps, and that's always something that I do recommend. You know, and it might be worth, again, kind of thinking about some of these calming things and just seeing if that makes a difference. And not everything works for every dog, but it might be worth just kind of working through some of the supplements to see if you can sort of take the edge off. And, you know, to as much as you can, get the good exercise and even mentally stimulating them with kind of like a Kong that's filled with, you know, frozen almond butter or cashew butter or even peanut butter, just something to mentally work them out, and that can help with that hyperactivity too.
Good points. You know, I want to go back to the garlic for just a second. I remember when I was in Trinidad for a year and somebody had recommended putting a garlic in a dish I was preparing. They said, well, where's the garlic when they ate it? And I said, well, I put in, you said two, so I put in two cloves. And they said, no, I wanted two bulbs. And you brought up bulbs.
Yes.
And do you mean bulbs or do you mean a clove, which is one piece out
of a... Individual. Thank you, Larry. I mean the clove. I do not mean the entire bulb. Thank you. I mean that one single clove that is part of the bulb. You don't want to give the whole bulb. You just want to give a clove. Thank you. It's good to clarify that. Oh, goodness.
All right, so think cloves, not bulbs, when right. It comes to garlic.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There we go. Well, on that note, let's turn to Sue in Eau Claire. Hi, Sue.
Hello. I have a cat that came up this spring being pretty severely diabetic. And he's not overweight, and we've always kind of, you know, we do feed him traditional cat food, but never, you know, been overfed, I would say. But I was wondering if you have any recommendations on what you could do to work with that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And are you doing insulin injections currently?
Yes, he's... he's been getting insulin, and his blood sugar is getting more balanced out.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'm very glad to hear that. And, you know, and I think diet is a big consideration for any animal that is diabetic. Usually what I recommend is going to a grain-free food, something that is kind of higher protein. Just to eliminate any of the carbohydrates that can potentially turn into sugars in the body and play into the diabetes. So the good thing with cats is sometimes, I will not say a lot of times, but sometimes they can reverse the diabetes if you are able to manage it. There is a supplement that I do recommend, but this is something that I would say definitely make sure that you do talk to a veterinarian about adding in supplements for your diabetic cat. But there is one by the company Standard Process. It's called Diaplex, and it has some different ingredients to really support the pancreas, which is the organ that produces the insulin and can help naturally lower the blood sugar. So that there are supplements out there. I would say if you are interested, you can always shoot me an email at info@fullcirclepet.com, and I can give you more information on that. But there are options to kind of help support them naturally.
All right, Sue, thank you for calling. Ruth and Nina, your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for another good program.
Thank you.
And I have another cat question. I don't know what she's lacking in her diet, but she in my cellar, she'll lick on the concrete floor.
Just licking, kind of like obsessively licking?
No, not obsessively, but okay. When the door is open, she'll go in there and lick the bare concrete.
Ah, and it's not wet or anything?
Nope.
Ha, interesting. And that is trying to get inside the brain of a cat is always a challenge. And yeah, you do. You kind of think about that. Is there something that she might be deficient in her diet? And, you know, kind of what I recommend on top of just a base, good, high-quality food, as high-quality as you can, and for cats, I always recommend as much protein as you can do because they should be eating, you know, up to 80% of their diet should be protein. But then adding in just some base supplements, probiotics, digestive enzymes are really helpful, and something that I do recommend for animals who might just be eating or, like with your cat, licking things that they really shouldn't be. Or if your cat or dog is just chewing on wood or it wants to eat feces or other things out there that they shouldn't be, adding in digestive enzymes might be something which just kind of helps their GI tract in general, might provide something that your cat is missing and why she feels like she wants to do that.
That's worth a try for sure. Good luck, Ruth. Thank you. Gage in Fitchburg, your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Thanks for taking me. So we just moved, me and my girlfriend, we just moved in together. We have a cat, and she will not use the litter box for her number twos.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
Where does she go?
Any room in the house. We moved from a one level to a two level, so there's stairs to contend with. But we just don't know. She just won't use the litter box. We got a new litter box too.
Litter box.
Only one though. I only heard one litter box.
And that is a good point. I do think for cats they can be so picky about litter boxes. And the type of litter box and the type of litter that you use. So maybe offering other litter boxes on each level. You can try a variety of different litters. If you use clay litter, corn litter, wheat litter, there are a variety of them out there. A covered litter box. Sometimes cats just have preferences, and it might be that things have changed since you moved, and she might be a little bit stressed out, and that's why you're seeing this behavior. So that might be one thing, adding more litter boxes, more of a variety. I think I would say having a fecal sample checked at your veterinarian just to make sure that there's nothing going on in the feces that, you know, might be, might be abnormal. Oh, sorry, my voice here. Yeah, so that would be something just to be able to rule in or out something abnormal in the stool going forward. But those would be some things to try.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Wanda in Lac de Flambeau, your turn. Hi. Wanda, are you there? Oh, we may have lost Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sharon in Appleton, what's on your mind?
Yes, I've got an 11-year-old male cat. We also have his sister the same age in the same litter. And in the last 6 months, he's had a lot of dried stool still encrusted around his anus, and it seems like I'm constantly taking a wet towel and cleaning him up a little bit. He is on a grain-free diet. He always has been. He happens to love plain whole milk yogurt, and he gets about, a teaspoon a day or sometimes 2 teaspoons a day. And I just thought today I was thinking, what else can I do? So I thought I'd add some fish oil to his dry food also. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what else I can do for him.
Well, you've done a lot already. The grain-free food is great. Adding in something like yogurt, which is a wonderful whole food probiotic. So that's really good. And I love the idea of adding in fish oil as well. So you might see a big difference just after adding in that fish oil, which is great for any inflammation and might just help with lubricating the stool. The other things that I would say you could potentially try would be adding in something like a fiber-rich vegetable like canned pumpkin or sweet potato. And the nice thing about those is adding in that fiber can just kind of help to regulate the stool. So they're helpful for animals that are having diarrhea. They're also helpful for animals that are having constipation. It just kind of helps bring everything back into a balanced state. So very small amounts, maybe starting with 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of sweet potato or canned pumpkin, and see if that makes a difference. You could also try a little bit of coconut oil if you need extra help, but that might be the next thing I would try.
There you go, Sharon. Thank you. Carla in Fox Lake, your turn. Hi, Carla.
Hi. I'm going to ask if you have a homemade recipe to help with hairballs.
And I don't really have a recipe, but there are some supplements that I do recommend for cats who just have kind of recurrent hairball issues. And I mentioned before the digestive enzymes for another cat, but this is another instance when I do recommend probiotics, digestive enzymes. The product that I use most often is that Animal Essentials, Plant Enzymes, and Probiotics. So it's got the combination of the two. But the digestive enzymes are nice because in the stomach, then they can help to kind of break down the hairball that might be sitting there in the stomach. So that might be one thing. There is another supplement, and it's made by the company VetraScience, and it's called, I think it's called Feline Furball. Very natural ingredients, and it's just a little chew treat that you can give to your cat. And that has the enzymes in and some other things that are supportive of breaking up those hairballs while they're in the stomach. So no specific recipe, but I would maybe think about doing some supplementation.
All right. Thank you, Carla, for calling. Appreciate it. We have some emails. Jade emailed that she has a young collie, just under 2 years. Almost every night at about 8, she starts acting out like an overtired child. Tried many different ways to get her to calm down, but she acts like she's looking for something to soothe her, like a pacifier. Once in a while, she will get a chew, and it puts her right to sleep, but they don't want to rely on that. Any ideas on what they could do to calm her down for bed?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I really do like the idea of the chew because that can be really great as just kind of like a natural toothbrush. And what I often recommend for dogs to chew on would be one of those. You can get antlers, you can get deer antlers, you can get elk antlers, and those are nice just for them to chew on. And it's kind of like a natural toothbrush. So maybe that would be something to think about. Your dog is getting dental care at the same time that they're given something to chew on to kind of work on, to mentally tire them out. The other thing that you could think about doing would be just like a raw bone, and that can work in the same way. But, I don't think it's the worst idea to give them something to work on at night so they kind of get tired out that way.
I think that's a very good idea. A listener emailed that her dog had what they thought was a urinary tract infection, was given meds, nothing worked, and then they were referred to the UW Vet Hospital and found out the dog had bladder cancer. And you know that the tract infection, urinary infection, came up earlier, and so it's something I guess to keep in the back of your mind if things aren't working.
Right, absolutely. And that is a thing, you know, kind of what I mentioned before with that holistic approach, not just treating what's wrong in front of you, but kind of sometimes you end up digging a little bit deeper and seeing what is the underlying cause. If my dog or cat is continuously getting urinary tract infections, what is that underlying cause? And digging deeper, doing more diagnostics, like an ultrasound, really taking a look at that entire urinary tract. Is there any abnormalities? And that's when you might sadly find something like cancer or, you know, even finding bladder stones. Those don't always show up on a routine urinalysis. You have to do an X-ray or an ultrasound to see them, but that can be another reason for recurrent urinary tract infections. I know. I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, we had we were talking about stress, and my cat Tiger gave me a lot of stress and stressed himself when he leaned against the screen. I wasn't in the area. He leaned against the screen and plopped out of the house. Didn't have to fall far, but I didn't notice for a couple of hours. And so last Tuesday he was gone, and so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was, you know, putting up signs and wandering the neighborhood. And finally, a lot of help from the neighbors. And one of our great neighbors, Tiger, came wandering into into their place, and I found him. So he doesn't, I'm looking at him right now, he doesn't seem to be very stressed anymore. He's an indoor cat, never goes outside, so we were kind of worried. I was really worried and feeling bad and guilty. But our stress level has declined considerably.
Oh, my gosh. Thank goodness. Oh, I'm so happy to hear you found him. He came home. But that is, you know, anything can happen at any point.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, these, some things you just can't prepare for. And everybody is stressed out. And I'm so glad to hear that he found his way home. And then, you know, another reason to think about microchipping. And maybe
he's microchipped.
It's such a good thing, because even with an indoor cat, you just never know. Something can happen, like what happened to the tiger.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad he's home.
Dr. Kerry, thank you so much. Dr. Kerry Donahue is the owner and founder of Full Circle Holistic Veterinary Care in Madison. We'll have her back and we will do this again. Great to have her with us. Tomorrow we'll talk with UW staff who are researching the origin of life and then a look at the loss of insect life. Stay with us. In the meantime, lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.